superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Let's go.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to hear you!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Friend from Sports Illustrated is back here on the Rich Eisen Show, Albert Breer. I'm just wondering, are we seeing the receiver position viewed more like a running back?
It's become replaceable because there's so many great ones, because that's where all the great athletes in the sport are gravitating, because of the passing game.
Earlier on the show, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, NFL Films senior producer Greg Cosell, coming up, actor Henry Cavill, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Greg Cosell of NFL Films broke down every top quarterback prospect available in this year's draft. He had a great overreaction Monday as well last hour. If you missed it, we're going to re-air after this hour. That also includes a fun chat with Jeff Passan of ESPN about his reaction to Shohei Ohtani's interpreter now having all of us know just how deep of a gambling problem he has, or maybe still has, or had. And if you missed any of that, again, we re-air after this hour, which should go quickly because Henry Cavill's on it. And we haven't spoken to him since he was coming in, I think, to promote The Witcher, and then also the Mission Impossible film he was in. And this new movie that he is in, called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, that's in theaters near you this very Friday. It's fantastic. I have seen it. It is a mix of The Dirty Dozen and Inglourious Basterds, and it's the latest Guy Ritchie movie, so you know it moves, and it's got a pulse to it, and a serious pulse to it. It's awesome. Henry Cavill's in it. So is Alan Ritchson's in it, and I'll ask them about their workout routines. Because I'm running my 40-yard dash soon for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And, of course, everyone should donate to stjude.org/runrichrun. And over the next couple weeks leading up to the draft, you'll hear quite a bit about that from me into this microphone. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Chris Brockman, Mike Del Tufo in their spots. Hey, T.J. Rich. Jefferson Rich. In his spot. It is tax day.
All right.
Yes. Yeah. Well, is that really something to celebrate?
No.
Okay.
Very much no.
Tax day.
It's the worst day of the year.
But unless you're an NFL fan. Today's a great day.
Because?
It's off-season workout program.
Oh.
So it's not mandatory to appear.
Unlike your taxes.
It's not mandatory. Yeah, that's mandatory.
That's mandatory. Hard to get around that.
The question on days like this, get asked of a lot of players, because we haven't spoken to them in a while, and they sit there in front of a microphone and they ask questions about narratives and things that happen in free agency, things that might happen in the draft. And then we get our answers. Whether they're satisfactory or not is really up to you. But then there's also the individuals who are not there. And the individuals who are not there are frequently players who want a new contract and haven't gotten it yet and have expected it and still don't have it. For instance, you know, he's not at the Minnesota Vikings offseason workout program today.
My cousin?
His name is Justin Jefferson.
This is my cousin.
He's not there. We asked him at the Super Bowl, which, as you know, is early February. Here it is mid-April, April 15th, Ides of April, which is definitely a Shakespeare workshop, that one. And so back in the day. And so we asked him, where's the bag? How large is the bag? We said, we have a bag. It's just, you know, just got some goodies in it. It's like a Roku stick is in it.
Nice. He appreciated it.
You know, he did. He seemed to appreciate it, but it's not nearly worth the actual retail value is what he is looking to get from the Minnesota Vikings.
They're only
proffered to ever give it to him, but he's still looking for it. You know, he's also looking for it. CeeDee Lamb's looking for it.
Beep.
So there's that. He's not there today.
He's getting his money. We all know this. Jerry pays the guys he wants to pay. CeeDee's going to get his money. I ain't sweating.
No, I know. And we know he's going to get it. He's got to get it. I mean, you got to give him the bag before the season.
Yeah.
The all in that we're talking about.
That was accounted for
the
when
the all
said
in
all
that
in.
We're talking about. They have to give him his bag.
Yes.
I mean, don't they? And I got to ask.
I think so.
That man his money.
Because exactly. They've only given out the bag or part of their bag to five individuals in 2024. Yeah, we're going to Timpani. No, I mean, seriously.
My eyes.
And that's part of the reason why I thought they would redo Dak is to have more space to give the bag to this guy. Because you're going to have to give the bag to Dak, and you're going to have to give the bag to CD, and you're going to have to give the bag to Micah. That's it. We know it. That's what happens when you draft well and you succeed with them. That's what happens. You got to pay them.
Okay, I like.
And that's what you know. And that's what you do with cap space if you're a winning organization is you pay your own because not only does it reward those who have done well for you, but it shows everyone in the locker room you do well for us, and this is how we handle our business for you. Mm-hmm. So I do believe this has got to happen. The only question is what does it mean for the rest of the team and how many others are they going to take care of in their all-in season where they're just going to go all in with the current roster and not give any more extensions and not going to give anybody more Jones Metroplex runway because they want to see them do it this year. Is it at all possible that they can pull that off with CeeDee Lamb and get him on the field this year without giving him the bag? Well, as of April 15th, the answer to that question is no. He's not showing up. And we will see how that plays out. We will see how the Dallas Cowboys draft in 10 days, because that's a pretty damn big draft for them, because that's the only way they're supplementing this roster. Unless you include the NFL.com free agency tracker.
Yeah, this is my favorite.
There you go, Mike.
All right.
Now I need the timpani. There it is. It still is just five. There you go. Eric Kendricks, new to the program. Everyone else has been re-signed from a long snapper to currently only running back, Rico Dowdle, along with, I'm sorry, Deuce Vaughn is there as well.
There is less pie.
Trent Sieg is.
And the grand total is five. If you look at the tote board, the Jones, the Jerry tote board. So there's that. In the Metroplex.
He will never walk.
Geppetto Jones is just playing you guys like a puppet.
Okay. By the way, for your sake, I hope so.
That'd be great. Yes.
And for all our sakes that want to see the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, there ain't a lot of
front and center. No, we all want to see them front and center, brother.
Don't worry,
see
them fail. I'm not part of that team.
You want to see us fail. Is what
I don't. I would love to have. Are you seriously? Honestly.
Yeah.
In terms of somebody who talks about it every Sunday on NFL Game Day morning and every day here, it would be nice to have Dallas make an NFC championship game. It would switch it up as opposed to the usual, like, oh, here they go again, and how about them Cowboys, ha, ha, ha. Like, it would be great to just switch it up.
And plus, it would unlock a version of me that you've never seen.
I would love to see
I'm
it.
I'm telling you, that guy's fun.
I would love to see it. Speaking on behalf of all Michigan Wolverine fans, it was great to switch it up.
Yeah, I was on your side, remember?
No, you weren't.
Stop. It was marvelous.
Nope. Who was the one who told you to start saying it with your chest?
You did.
Thank you. I was on your side.
And by the way,
and I don't like the Buckeyes.
In that regard, to Ty Law, Steve Hutchinson, and the rest of the University of Michigan Wolverines, Charles Woodson, who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, I'm going to need your help at the jacket dinner this August because I'm going to need security and a solid exit strategy after I take the microphone in there. At any rate. You know who's not looking for the bag? Devontae Smith's not looking for the bag because he had it placed in front of him by Howie Roseman via Jeff Lurie.
Found it.
They picked up his fifth-year option and added a three-year deal on top of it, $75 million with $51 million guaranteed. And I will say this. The Eagles always pay their guys early. They always extend them early. They always get in before things get more and more expensive. They did it for Carson Wentz, and when that didn't work out because they did get in early, they got out from under it. They got out from under it, and they drafted Jalen Hurts, and then they paid him early before things get even crazier. They do that all the time and then deal with the ramifications if they pay somebody too early. I think they do it right. I love the way that they do it, and it's also what they do is let's get Saquon Barkley. Let's pay him. Let's get A.J. Brown from somebody else. Let's pay him. And then when it's time to pay our own, we'll have the room to do that as well. And we'll just keep on matriculating the ball down the field. And one last thing. Do you remember when Devontae Smith on draft night was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles? We were all talking about him being too small, right? Heisman Trophy winner. He's going to get his ass kicked in the next level.
Slight build. That was the big knock.
How about that? He's got the C on his chest, and now he's got the money in the bank.
Great player, man.
And the Eagles use him well. Eagles use him well, and, you know, Philadelphia just keeps on keeping on, and I can't wait to see what they do in the draft as well. I imagine they're going to hit the hell out of their line of scrimmage on either side, because that's what they usually do, certainly in the front seven. Mm-hmm. Back end. I think they need some back end of the defense help, too. Everybody does, anyway. That's not going out on a very, very long limb, but nicely done there.
Yep.
Meanwhile, up the turnpike, where Saquon Barkley used to reside, and because they franchise-tagged him and couldn't get a long-term deal done with him at this point last year, they went ahead and made a long-term deal with Daniel Jones instead. And I think, you know, if they could wave a wand and change the order of that, where they signed Saquon Barkley to a long-term deal that they're comfortable with and franchise-tagged Daniel Jones, that might have been a better way to go about it. I don't know. Because you talk to any, you know, you hear from Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, the coach and general manager of the team, they believe in Daniel Jones. Again, I came back from the combine having heard a rumor, and I don't usually rumor monger. I'm not a rumor mongerer. That's Schefter. That's the Michigan man there.
In those waters,
and for those who think that I'm taking a shot at my great friend, it's a long joke. That goes back to NFL Network history, as a matter of fact. So, long story short, though, I came back and I heard from the combine that the Giants really don't see Daniel Jones as a long-term future, and they're kind of done with him, and they're going to go into this draft and hit a quarterback. Could I be wrong? Absolutely. Was I right about you coming that Caleb Williams is a done deal for the Bears? Was I right about the Dallas Cowboys terminology of all in was kind of different than what you thought, and they're going to make Dak play out his contract? At this point, that looks pretty Nostradamus like. Yeah. Jaden Daniels being the 100% number two, that's up in the air. And I was off on hearing that a plan B for the Vikings should Cousins leave would be Trey Lance. Wrong about that. Turned out to be Sam Darnold, another number three overall pick from a previous draft. So I could be off. Daniel Jones was at the Giants facility today.
Oh.
And we don't know if he's going to be ready for the season. I don't think he will be. He's coming off a knee injury, a neck injury that apparently isn't an issue. And which soundbite are we going with first here, Mike Hoskins? What are we going with first? He was asked about his thoughts about what happens if the Giants draft a quarterback. Oh. As you know, they're sixth overall, and there's a rumor that they might be knocking on the door of the Patriots to see if they'll swap spots. So they get Drake May or Jaden Daniels, whoever's available there, depending on their liking. This is what Daniel Jones had to say about that.
How would you feel if the Giants used their first-round pick on a quarterback, and have they looped you in at all to the possibility that they might do that and, you know, bring in a challenger for your job?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my focus is what I'm doing here with my rehab. You know, kind of the same thing with Saquon. It's, you know, the nature of our business. It's a competitive, league. So, you know, the best way to handle that, I think, is to focus on what I'm doing, focus on myself and making sure that I'm, you know, one, healthy, and then ready to play good football. So, you know, that's what I can control. That's what I can do to help myself.
Let me translate. He wouldn't like it. Would you like it? No. Would the guy who's questioning that like, you know, hey, we're bringing in another reporter who's a really good beat writer. No one wants that. No. Get out of here. Of course he doesn't want that. But that's true. One way to battle through that would be to, because whoever they draft, they'll probably have to sit, right? That's why they went ahead and, you know, got Drew Lock. He's going to start week one if Daniel Jones isn't ready. And at some point, Daniel Jones will be back ready, and they're paying him a ton of money. They'll play him. And he'll have his chance to show everybody, shouldn't have drafted the quarterback, should have drafted a weapon for me, which they could do. I mean, Malik Nabers six. Oh. If the quarterback they want isn't there, if they sit and they pick and stay.
They should definitely do that.
Okay, so that's a good answer, non-answer, but of course he doesn't want somebody there. Especially since I believe he's kind of hearing what I heard at the combine. That the face-forward conversation from the GM and the coach is a vote of no confidence. So, what was the second soundbite again now? We got one. Oh, ask if he's the best quarterback option for the Giants. Oh, boy. Check it out.
You're healthy, you know, this summer in training camp, which you hope to be, and going on into the season. You feel you're the best quarterback that the Giants could have to start their season with?
I do, yes.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Do you feel, Chris, do you feel you're the best person for the role that you have on the Rich Eisen Show?
Yes.
Okay. TJ Jefferson, do you feel you're the best person for the role that you have on the Rich Eisen Show?
I mean, who better than me?
I don't need to ask you.
I mean,
you already know Mike's answer.
Are you the best person? Hold on a second. Are you the, this is the way to ask you this.
Go ahead,
Mike
Rich.
Del Tufu, are you the best person for any role that you think you need to play in life for anything? Name anything in your life. Are you the best at it?
No, there's better.
Oh, my God.
But
this guy.
Don't pretend to be humble right now.
All of a sudden, this guy. What,
there is there are better. And there is.
I mean, Henry Cavill's waiting. I thought that would be a quick answer. I didn't expect to go down this rabbit hole.
But I am the one with the most passion that you ever find.
Okay, there you go.
That I will take.
You've won the most awards.
That, too.
Yeah. All right. And you're happier for you being nominated than you are upset about us being snubbed.
That's totally wrong.
For this show. Look at that beautiful screen.
Look at that screen.
Okay, listen. Of course, I love it. This is oh, my gosh. Washington, it's all going to be about who they choose second overall, and did they make the right choice at the head coach position, and what's going on in their first full season is having new owners. In Dallas, it's all about the Jerry Jones philosophy of what he considered all in and how it does play out. If he does go all in, by meaning everybody's got to play for their jobs from the quarterback to the coach. What a crazy ass season that's going to be. Certainly if he does somehow not give CeeDee Lamb the bag prior to it.
Mm-hmm.
And Micah is going to be sitting out there too, waiting for it.
Yeah,
in Philadelphia, it's all about the collapse last season and how do they respond to it, having kept their coach and both Philadelphia and Dallas having an opportunity and Washington to go get Bill Belichick and all of them saying no thanks. Okay. And the Giants too, if you really want to throw that into the ring, but Brian Daboll was 1 year removed from being coach of the year. And in New York, it's like, what are they doing in this draft? And how does that decision inform what they have in Daniel Jones? Oh my God, is the NFC East going to be lit this year? And certainly in Philadelphia is how do they fare without Kelsey in the middle of that offensive line? And Fletcher Cox in the middle of the defensive line. Cannot wait. The NFC East is just set up, and we haven't even seen a single draft pick chosen. Ooh. Let's take a break. Henry Cavill is back here on The Rich Eisen Show, and you will love his new movie, The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. Cannot wait to chat about that with him next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show right here on the Roku channel. Before our radio audiences return, it is the first of two times I welcome in the star of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, a fantastic film that is available in theaters later on this week, this Friday, nationwide. Great to see you again, Henry Cavill. How are you, sir?
Great to see you, too.
To see you. Yes, well, worthy of a round of applause. Not just polite applause, that's genuine applause for you right there.
Oh, very kind, gents. Thank you.
This movie is fantastic. I was telling you that before you came out here. You are fantastic in it. And here is a clip of it where you and your comrades are getting ready to take out some Nazis during World War II. Check it out. Okay.
Whoa, okay.
Well, that's just two Nazis taken out. Again, I've seen this film. Over 1,000, I think, wind up meeting their demise.
At least. not nearly enough.
Yeah.
We could do it some more.
Oh, and in case people aren't aware as to, you know, why I mean, this is a Guy Ritchie movie as well.
Oh,
so,
of course.
I can't wait for this. Let's
put two go. And two together.
Yeah. I mean, a typical example of Guy Ritchie's style is that line which I heard you chuckle at.
Yeah.
I must get me one of those coats.
Yes.
None of that's in the script.
It's a recurring line as well. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Thrilled to have here back with our radio audience. Back on this Rich Eisen Show studio. Set, the star of the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, available in theaters nationwide this Friday, April 19th. We just saw a clip of it. Henry Cavill is here on the program. Great again to have you back here, brother. Thanks for coming.
Great to be here. Thank
it you, is man. A great movie. This is a fun movie, of serious subject matter, actually.
Yeah.
This is a based on true events film. Guy Ritchie directing it, you and a terrific cast in it. I'll give you the floor on describing to the best what this film is, in fact, about, sir.
Sir. This is about the first mission that gave birth to deniable operations, hence the name, Ungentlemanly Warfare. During World War II, we were still there was still the sense of carrying out warfare in a certain way. And the Special Operations Executive, which is what that team is, they were skulking around in the background, essentially, carrying out these kind of missions. This one in particular was so important because it shut down the Nazi U-boat operations in the Atlantic, U-boats being submarines. And when they shut that down, that meant the Americans would join the war, which, as we all know, you guys won the war, basically. So,
well, it helped turn the tide. You can put it that way. It certainly helped turn the tide. And, you know, the German U-boats were dominating the Atlantic, which was cutting the United Kingdom off from the rest of the continent, the rest of the world. And obviously Hitler was beginning to bomb the crap out of London, and things were looking pretty dire.
Yeah.
And this was a crucial mission that actually happened.
This is a real-life mission. Now, keep in mind, as much as this actually did happen, and was key in changing the course of the war, this is the Guy Ritchie version of how things happen. So I do believe, and I may be wrong, but I do believe not a single shot was fired in anger.
Is that right?
And as you know,
yes,
that's quite different in this movie.
Well, there's shots of guns and actual bow and arrow, which Alan Ritchson, I think, kills about 50 people on his own with a bow and arrow in this film.
Alan is very handy. With axes, with knives, with bow and arrows.
Oh, my
anything.
Goodness.
He's even handy with Nazis killing Nazis. No, he can kill a Nazi with a Nazi, which is quite impressive.
That was, and I imagine there might have been a very little witty repartee in the real life as well, as opposed to this film, which is highly entertaining. It truly is from beginning to end, and it goes in about 5 minutes' time. Really does.
Good. Thank you so much. We enjoyed making it.
And it looks like it. Looks like you did. And I was telling you before, and I'll say it here again, there's a Dirty Dozen feel to it.
Yeah.
There's an Inglourious Bastards feel to it. And there's a Guy Ritchie feel to this film. Yeah. Put it all together, and you come up with the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare. And again, the cast is fantastic. Cary Elwes in this film is brilliant.
Cary's the best. Yeah, we love Cary.
Yeah, for sure. And so you and Alan Ritchson together, you know, was there like a workout regimen that the two of you would go through here?
No. I wouldn't dare try to keep up with Alan. What I did enjoy in particular about working with Alan, aside from the fact that he's a marvelous chap, very talented, mm-hmm. and just wonderful to be around, is that I got to hand off all of the action to him. I didn't have to do any really complicated choreographed action, which was a wonderful break for me.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed that enormously. Well, Alan was always saying, hey, do you want to do this one? I was like, please, no. He's like, okay, yeah, I'll take it.
I think one of the last times you were here, you were promoting the Mission film.
Yeah.
And you said that fight scene with Tom Cruise in the bathroom took how long for you to shoot that?
I think it was 4 weeks.
So it makes sense that you're, and plus you wanted to do a lot of your own stunts as well.
Absolutely.
I think you kind of got that thrill ride aspect of your career out of your system, I'd imagine.
I'm still very much into it.
Okay.
I mean, we have Highlander coming up as well. So
okay.
There'll be plenty in there.
Okay.
But it's nice from time to time just to do just the acting bit of it rather than the acting and the fighting. And I enjoyed it.
And it certainly, like I said, it worked out for sure. And I got Henry Cavill here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk a little bit of sports. You were at an event commonly known as the Super Bowl, correct?
I hope so.
Okay, very good. Yeah. You were at the Super Bowl, is another way for me to just say. The most recent one in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yes, indeed.
Because you are a fan of the...
I'm a fan of the Chiefs.
Yes, indeed.
Important to note, pre-Mahomes.
Yes.
Just so I'm not sort of one of those Brits who came over and chose the best team. which is, again, probably a controversial thing to say. Sorry, folks.
No, it's quite all right.
Speaking of the best team as well, had a wonderful time because Apple very generously invited me to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple being where Apple is.
Yes.
Obviously 49ers fans.
Mm-hmm.
And they felt so poorly for me. And I think also we went in being the underdogs for that as well.
Which is crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
Crazy. I mean, it's nuts how many people thought the Chiefs were not going to flip a switch and things of that nature.
Yeah, and to be honest, up until halftime, there was some concerns.
Yes, indeed.
But Apple felt so bad for me, they actually had one of their guys support the Chiefs with me and Natalie. And they said, you jump in there and just make them feel comfortable.
What is designated consoler? Is that what you're saying?
This gentleman, he was, he had supported Chiefs in the past and he wasn't really sort of in one camp or the other. And so he said, I'll go for it. I'm always about the underdogs and about the franchise. And let's do it. And so everyone was quite vocal to begin with,
mm-hmm.
especially sort of in the Apple box and being very pro, not Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, okay, yeah, let's step up and let's be just as vocal back. Of course, I didn't get the memo that I should be less vocal when we started smashing them in the second half. And so hopefully one day I will be invited back.
Well,
the chances are low.
Because it's all bets are off though, right?
It's when you're Super Bowl.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, it was all in good spirit.
That
all in good spirit.
Great.
Like, sort of, there was some good natured ribbon going on.
Yeah, I know. When you're out here on the left coast, you look at your phone and it's Cupertino time that's on your phone. So clearly we're well aware of where their allegiances might lie geographically and emotionally as well. But I mean, just rooting for Patrick Mahomes has got to be one of the greatest things of all time. Just seeing this guy
his thing. He always seems to provide. It's a great thing.
It is unbelievable. Yeah. Every single time, it seems. And so, just to remind everyone again, why the Chiefs? What turned you on to the Chiefs to begin with?
So, being over here, wanting to get into football,
mm-hmm.
learning that I could actually enjoy the game, because initially I thought it's just a bad version of rugby. And then I realized it's human chess, essentially. It's nothing like rugby.
Right.
And
well, the play that the Eagles run on the goal line is basically rugby, the
right.
brotherly shove. That's rugby.
Right.
But outside of that, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I had to pick a team, and I thought, what's going to be a constant in my life? What's going to be one thing which will always be I'll always have connected to, mm-hmm. always have a connection to in one way or another. And it was clearly Superman. And I thought, great. Now who would Superman support? And even though the Chiefs, I often hear this, they say, but they're not in Kansas. I mean, they kind of are. They're not, right. but they are.
Right.
And that's who Clark would have supported. And I figured, it's ideal. I'll stick with the Chiefs. And then they started winning.
Yeah. Kansas City fandom does not stop at the Missouri-Kansas exactly. border. It does spill over to exactly. the other side.
Yeah.
So that's truly...
It's not a hard wall.
That's truly the one that's... And so...
Yeah.
So what year was this right around the time?
Okay. So it was the year where we lost to the Steelers in the playoffs because I was there.
Okay.
And...
That was a cold night, wasn't it? Where there was like a delay. The game was delayed a little bit too. Or the start of the day. It was supposed to be a day game and then it had it at night because it was too damn... Yeah, like there's something going on with the weather.
I think that was Mahomes' first game on because their first string was out with an injury, mm-hmm. I believe.
Right.
And I think anyway.
Okay.
I don't really remember. It was quite the spectacle.
Okay.
As a Brit going over there, being down on the sidelines and everything.
In Arrowhead.
Yeah. And it is as loud as they say.
I'll tell you what. The first time I'd ever been to a game at Arrowhead... it was Thanksgiving night in 2006. It was the first ever Thanksgiving Thursday night evening game. Mm-hmm. NFL Network had it, and I'd never been to a game in Kansas City. And my colleague, Steve Mariucci, longtime coach in the league, goes, listen, when they do the national anthem, and instead of Home of the Brave, and they say Chiefs, it's going to be the loudest word you've ever heard said. And I'm like,
it's true.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
And it was the loudest word I've ever heard said. And it was, it came out of like a void, right? Because mm-hmm. everyone is just politely waiting. Singing and being quiet. waiting. Yes, indeed. You're not wrong. It truly is a special experience.
Yeah. I loved it. And so, yeah, I'm a big old Chiefs fan.
And then Mahomes gets drafted. Now they're a dynasty. They're totally dynastic.
Yeah, so that's the 2016 wild card.
That was it.
I lost at home to Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So the year before Mahomes was even drafted.
There you go. Okay. So the year before. So yeah, you were at an Alex Smith game.
In early.
Yeah.
You were there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, you were in early. So you're
I
not.
Was.
You're not.
Yeah,
you're
I'm not
a bandwagon
fair
jumper.
Weather.
No,
yeah.
Not at all.
No.
So who is your other teams? Do you have any other teams like?
So when it comes to rugby,
anything.
Any
sport.
Obviously England, and also Gloucester.
Okay.
Is my club rugby team. Jersey used to have a team. Jersey, where I'm from, the island of Jersey,
uh-huh.
where I'm originally from. They
mm-hmm.
no longer have a team, unfortunately. So my local team is Gloucester.
Okay.
I support them.
Any Premier League squad side?
I am still agnostic when it comes to Premier League. But
why is that?
I just never really got into it at a young age.
Okay.
I seem to find myself a bit more readily available for watching sports at the weekend these days.
Okay.
I make some more time for it. Okay. So maybe I'll get into Premiership.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't know that. Okay. Did you see the Beckham documentary? Have you seen
that? I did.
That?
It's very good.
I thought it was
really good.
Really compelling.
Yeah.
I'd forgotten most of that about him and how he was birthed into being famous and that.
It highlighted the era and how difficult it was being a British sporting celebrity and obviously married to a massive pop icon as well.
My gosh.
I mean, it looked uncomfortable,
okay.
to say the least. Speaking of documentaries,
yes,
have you
sir.
Seen Vinnie Jones's documentary?
I have not. I've heard it's amazing, though.
Oh, it's so worth a watch. Like, if you guys have a board and need something to watch, it's beautiful. Vinnie Jones's Farm. It's a wonderful insight to
writing it down.
Yeah.
I'm imagining you have to know Vinnie Jones if you're going to do a Guy Ritchie movie, right? You have to know as much about Vinnie Jones if you're going to, like, is that an that's like an entry level Guy Ritchie thing?
Watching this movie or this documentary,
yes,
taught me that I know nothing about Vinnie Jones until you watch this.
That's right.
And I actually, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised.
He lives out here. I think he's a member of the golf club that I'm a member of.
I worked at Fox with him for a second
because
he did
right?
some stuff with us in the early, yeah.
He's an interesting guy.
He seems like a really, really nice dude.
Henry, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed this movie that you're in, that everybody's going to start enjoying on Friday. It's just a total blast. And I did not know the story of how there was a group of men and women as well that turn the tide of the war by taking on this black opera, this black ops mission in a world where that just doesn't happen.
Yes.
Right.
It was a new concept for the time.
Right. And one of the people who are in charge, for the lack of a better phrase, mm-hmm. back at the home office was Ian Fleming.
Yes.
The Ian Fleming. Who turned out to be the guy who created James Bond.
Indeed.
And the character of James Bond is rumored to be based on the guy you play in this film.
Yes. Yeah. Now I'm sure Ian Fleming wrote James Bond with a lot of stories and a lot of different characters in mind.
Sure.
But
an amalgam, I'm sure.
As I understand it, Gus March Phillips was one of the stronger influences. And in fact, Gus March Phillips's, they all had code numbers. And Gus was W01, which is what eventually became 007.
Yes.
Over time. And they all had these little code numbers just so they could reference each other and be deniable in their operations. Also, Gus March Phillips, I have recently learned, and I may be wrong in this too, but I'm fairly sure I'm not, was also an amateur author and poet. And he had written a book about a spy based upon his adventures as well. And had he not died during World War II, he may have beaten Ian Fleming to the punch.
That is wild.
Yeah.
That is totally wild. Again, when I'm watching this movie and I heard Ian Fleming's name, I'm like, wait a minute. I have the benefit of what people won't have in the theater, which is I racked it back. Right. I'm like, wait a minute. Did I hear that name right?
Yeah.
And that had me at hello, essentially, to use another phrase from the movies. And Cary Elwes's character, is that M? Is that from?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's M.
From Bond.
M. Yeah. Dame Judi Dench.
Well, eventually,
yeah.
You know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon later, you know, it just adds another layer of coolness to this film. And so I just want to ask, and hope I'm not putting you in a position, is there any Bond in your future still? Is there any possibility of this?
I have no idea. All I've got to go off is the rumors. So the same information you have.
Right.
Maybe I'm too old now. Maybe I'm not. We'll see. It's up to Barbara Broccoli and Mike Wilson and... But we'll see what their plans are.
Well, I mean, you're playing the guy who Bond is based on.
Yeah, seems like a good first step, right?
You know, I'm just a movie goer, you know. But and you're outstanding in it. You are outstanding in this. And we've had Alan Richson in here before. And by the way, he said he eats pizza. He said he ate pizza the night before he showed up here.
No chance.
What a bunch of crap.
No, he does.
What?
No, he does. He's, you know, he's not kidding. No, he just works really hard. But he's
hold on a second. Have you seen Alan Richin hit craft services during a break in the action here? Really?
I mean, well, that's another thing. We're often eating sort of off the back of Guy's trailer, which has like a little barbecue there. So
what?
It's what? Yeah. Guy has a thing called a wild kitchen.
Oh,
right. It's check it out. It's very, very cool. What? It's like an outdoor cooking space.
Hold on.
A sort of barbecue cooking space.
Wait, what do you mean? We check it out. Like you can buy Guy Ritchie's Wild Kitchen.
Oh, yeah. It literally auto populates Guy Ritchie Outdoor Kitchen.
Yes. Like you can buy this sort of thing.
Yes,
it's featured. Yeah, it's a thing.
Cashmere Caveman is the I think the name of the company.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he has
one of those on the back of his trailer.
And then what?
He has a chef out there who's cooking away, and we have like meat and vegetables all day just off the back of that.
Oh, so you can actually have a proper meal, is what you're saying.
Yeah, a guy is fantastic like that. He really creates an environment on set where you're on tour doing a job. You're a troop of creatives rather than it doesn't feel like a factory floor where you just got to go. Everything is as efficiently cheap as possible so the movie can be made. It's supposed to be a fun experience, and Guy really does make it that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, there's like some Indiana Jones in this too, like with the maps and you know what I mean? Like and World War II and Nazis, obviously.
It feels like an adventure because, I mean, these guys sailed all the way down to just off West Africa in this Brixton trawler through Nazi waters and survived. The whole thing was an adventure. It's amazing they made it.
Yeah.
Suicide mission.
And the Nazis were out to kill him, and the Brits, if they captured him, they couldn't say, hey, you know, we're one of you.
And in fact, it was after this mission, but Hitler, when he found out about these guys, said, all bets are off. If we capture you, you will be tortured to in the most horrific of ways. And so he really did not like these guys.
Sounds like Hitler.
Yeah. I mean, it does. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely in character for the guy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. The film is awesome. Again, it's called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, available in theaters nationwide this Friday, April 19th. And I imagine the Chiefs have not lost the Super Bowl since you received the script of this film. Maybe a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. They did not lose it.
A dynasty has been born, and now we know how. At Henry Cavill on Instagram as well. Great to see you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Please, anytime you've got something great to promote or you just want to come and hang out.
Hey, it's nice hanging out here.
I appreciate
you guys
that.
Have a good environment here.
I appreciate nice. That. I'm That's back. Deserving of a round of applause. Okay, thank you so much. Great to see you. Henry Cavill, again, check out The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare, available in theaters nationwide this Friday, April 19th. You will not be disappointed. You will love it.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you see Kyler Murray's tweet this weekend?
Oh, no.
He doesn't usually tweet about anything personal.
What do we got?
We got it for you. Do we have it? There he is. My date is whooping any of y'all's ass.
That is a fact, by the way.
Do you want to describe what we're seeing on the screen here, TJ Jefferson?
Well, this was a shot from UFC 300.
Yes.
And he was sitting next to Victoria Shevchenko.
Mm-hmm.
And she is one of the toughest women to...
Are they an item?
No, I don't think so.
He just happened to be sitting next to her?
And I calling her his date? Is that
I mean,
it?
Look, maybe.
That's pretty funny. Maybe they are. That would be awesome.
You know?
Okay. Just don't know anymore.
I saw it when the camera, I was like, oh, he's in a safe company right there.
Okay. Better protected than he is on certain Sundays is what you're saying?
Did I say Victoria? I'm sorry, I meant Valentina.
Valentina Shevchenko, yeah.
Okay, very good.
I said Victoria for some reason.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, very.
But that's not the top headline of UFC 300?
No.
Don't.
No.
Max Holloway put Justin Gaethje to sleep.
Man.
Did you watch that live?
I was at a place where it was on, so I was watching it.
Why are you parsing it out like this? What do you mean you were at a
the
place where it was on?
The details aren't really important.
They really aren't? You were at someone else's house?
Yeah, I was at someone else's house, okay, and it was on.
Whose house were you at?
I mean, the details aren't important. He just told you.
It's literally not important. It's not like TJ. I'm not hiding anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like you are.
What's that supposed to mean?
Sounds like you are.
You know, I was at my friend's house. Who's your friend, Ashton? I'm not doing one of those.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Do I do that all the time?
Yes, you do.
I was watching a Lakers game.
Which is why when you dropped Rihanna's name earlier, it was just just an outlier.
Whoa. Now okay. You're making it seem like you I'm a name dropper. Stuff. Make up your mind. Am I
no, you're not. You're not a name dropper. That's
so
the
when
point.
You did name
don't be
drop,
so defensive.
We were all like, the way you said it,
I think you should name drop all the time.
I mean,
you should do that.
I'm just saying.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Guys, we've had a terrific show, but all we need to do is make one more mistake, and everybody gets free chicken.
How many mistakes do you have to make?
I don't know. One more.
Two. That's it.
I could do
just
it.
One more.
You missed Tim Horton earlier.
Yeah, so people
you did.
That was
the last mistake.
That's what I mean.
Prior to one more mistake, and you get
Horton.
you get free chicken.
Just get Horton. The Horton.
How about Boban?
What a guy.
So Boban, former Clipper, knows that if a team is held to a certain amount of points as the opponent inside the crypt, inside crypto.
No. What it is, Rich.
You get more. You get ticking.
If the opposing player misses
two free throws.
Shots.
That's right. He knows that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he missed the first and everybody starts
and
clapping
he knew.
Was
on the line. He knew. The assignment.
He knew. And he's just basically just told everybody, I got this.
I got you.
And then he purposefully missed the final free throw. By the way, doing a good job. He didn't just like take it and wing it at the backboard.
He made it look like a real shot.
He did make it look like a real shot.
Oh, man, I got to watch this again.
Oh, and he did. And he was a man of the people.
He was literally pointing at himself. I got you guys.
I got you guys. Don't worry about it. I got this. Don't worry about it. I'm a former Clipper. I understand if I miss another free throw here. I got you.
That was done.
There you have it.
And they and the game was already decided. So
it's over.
But of course, somebody in a comment of section of something I read was like, that's point shaving and that's illegal.
That's
shut
absurd.
Up.
And he looks at the crowd and is like, yeah, I got I'm the best.
Yeah, I know. And he's Mr. Soup, right? See, it's chicken soup.
Chicken soup.
Oh, Boban. Just an absolute delightful human
man
being.
Man of the people, that Boban.
That's right. People walking around with a full belly of chicken here in Los Angeles today have Boban to thank.
Chick-fil-A about to go crazy this week.
So great.
I like it. Boban. That's him, right? There look at, I mean, we look
so
like little people.
Look at that.
I mean, honestly, literally look like.
I know.
I could be his kid.
Well, you are his child right there. And Brockman, all he's got to do is just lift up his left arm and use you as like a roll on right there.
I mean, it's unbelievable.
You look exactly.
Wait a minute, can we put that picture up again?
Real quick? Why not?
Is that arm on your shoulder, is that Brockman's arm or
that's
Boban's
Brockman's arm?
Oh,
no, it's Brockman's arm. It's Brockman's arm. Look at Boban's right hand and what that fist looks like on Del Tufo's shoulder. As a matter of fact, I fist bumped him in that one too. Yeah. And honestly, I look like
you're like half the size of his head.
I know, I look like Stubby K.
And it was perfect of you two Wonder Twin powering
together. Yeah. We pounded and it just looked like his fist was swallowing up mine. There it is. Great shot, guys. Way to have it ready. Look at that. Didn't even know it was coming. Look at that.
Wonder Twin powers activate.
Oh, my God.
Form up a bucket of water.
Form up a bulldozer in the form of a fist. That was great. It was for John Wick 3, right?
Yeah.
He was promoting John Wick 3.
He was briefly in that movie.
Why not? Why not, indeed? Thank you for the chicken on behalf of all the Los Angelinos today. Walking around with free chicken. Boban's like, I got you.
Full bellies.
What a delightful human.
Not even a
he's
really,
a giver.
Brock, I'm really worried. Wondering, I should say. Is Kyler Murray really dating Valentina Shevchenko? Because this could
I
be
think that's like a hot rumor right now.
Well, I mean, he called her
his date. Yeah.
I mean, you don't say date if you're not dating, right?
Okay. Sure.
Well, Mike, you do that.
Game Time Tickets is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even easier and faster because prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch. Killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, lowest price guarantee. Game Time takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. You find out exactly the seat you want. You can see exactly where home plate is and based on where your ticket would be, and then you find out the entire price. It's called the all-in pricing feature. Shows you the total up front, no surprise fees at checkout. So download the Game Time app, create an account, use code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account, redeem the code RICH, you get $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed, and you got a 75% chance of seeing the Yankees win a baseball game if you see a Yankee game, because they've won 75% of their first 16 games. I'll do the math for you. That's 12-4. Oh, baby.
Hey, after an 0-4 start, the Metropolitans are 7-8. And I'm making baseball again, man.
Look out. You're back.
Back.
How are your Red Sox doing today?
We lost on Marathon Day. And then Tyler O'Neill, your Major League home run leader,
he got hurt.
Collided with Rafi Devers on a pop fly.
That can't go well for him.
The worst defense in baseball. 8 stitches, and he's in concussion protocol. So,
oh, my gosh. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thoughts out to Tyler O'Neill.
I'm sorry to hear that, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah,
okay.
It's okay.
So there's that.
We're 9-8.
Okay, so that's great.
That's better than expected.
No doubt. 12-4 is better than the Yankees, I expected.
Yeah, better
they've been looking terrific.
Yeah.
And they don't even have Garrett Cole or Jason Dominguez or Peraza. They don't have any of them.
Yep.
You know, or DJ LeMahieu. They're all coming. Can't get you to say something good about the Yankees, huh? Can't even say?
It's April.
No.
Okay.
Is that what it is? Okay. This guy over there.
He's right, though.
He won't. He won't. Because, Rich, he sent me a video of Cage playing T-ball. And
did he blur out the Yankee?
No, TJ was like, go Yankees. I'm like, don't ever say that to me.
Yeah.
He yelled
it's
at me.
So great
text.
That his beautiful boy.
Mike, where have you been?
His beautiful boy.
I did not know that.
Beautiful boy. Well, here's the thing is that even if he does have that, I'm going to show dad thing in him, his mom is never going to let that happen.
Yeah.
Ever.
No.
Ever.
So,
the Yankees in Cage.
That's right.
Like, if he's getting paid by the Yankees, then I will cheer for the Yankees.
Is that right? That's all he needs is Steinbrenner dollars? Okay.
You think they're still going to own the team by the time Cage is?
Of course they will. Of course
they will. The family will.
Oh yeah, they will.
They're not selling.
They're not selling. They, no. They've got a they've got a gajillion dollars. They don't have any reason to sell.
Plus, there's multiple other owners.
I think the Yankees are probably the Steinbrenners, like, what, third most profitable part of their portfolio right now. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
They might not have anything to do with the Yankees.
Once a Steinbrenner cuts a check, I'm all in.
Is that right? That's all it's going to take?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, we're in.
All right.
You'll see me at Yankee Stadium. I'll wear the hat and everything.
You want to bench from,
is he pitching or is he pitching or hitting? What's he doing?
Good question.
What's he doing?
He might be out. He can do both.
Okay.
Oh.
So Angel Hernandez can screw him twice.
And then, Angel Hernandez he will be the major league umpire.
He will be
in 20 years.
Why wouldn't he?
It's insane.
Why wouldn't he? What's going to happen? Somebody going to actually tap him on the shoulder?
Don't they get reviews like everyone gets like in jobs? Like they get like
he's 62.
No, why not? He'll be in if there's any umpire who has a chance to still be calling balls and strikes at age 82, it's that man.
Oh my God.
He's gone this long.
Gosh.
What are they going to do?
That's a terrifying thought.
Well, why? I mean, what are they going to do? Tell him he's not, because you know he's going to still be doing it. Seriously. He's going to make Joe West look like baby, Fenster baby.
Fenster baby. Fenster baby. I love Fenster baby. The crutcher.
Now, that's an analogy you didn't think you'd hear, is Joe West as Fenster baby.
Nope. I'm trying to look this
up. That's the way I roll. Great show today. Fun show today all over the map. Jeff Passan, Greg Cosell, and Henry Cavill. I think I survived that two shot.
Well,
I'm feeling good about myself.
Well.
Thank you.
Patches still in the arms.
Patches are still right here. All right. We'll tell you on the Roku channel the rest of the week. And for our radio audience, we'll chat again Tuesday and tell you then.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.